Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Right, we're a couple of days out from the big one, Ireland taking on England in Twickenham in the make or break Six Nations clash. The man who knows all about facing England in make or break clashes is our Big Red Bench guest host, Tomás O'Leary. Tomás, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Rory. I'm looking forward to the weekend now to see, I suppose, how Ireland compete in their first big challenge under Farrell. Obviously, going off to Twickenham the last few times, or the last time anyway, we got a fair old beating, but I think Ireland have improved since the World Cup, and England have probably gone the other way, so it's kind of intriguing to see where both sides are at.
When you were a player, what was it like heading to Twickenham? Was there a kind of an aura about it? Was there kind of an extra level of anticipation heading over there?
I think just the historical, I suppose, rivalry between the countries, and the fact that Ireland would have been used to getting a hammering off them in the 90s, even early 2000s. That always kind of, I grew up watching that, and then when Ireland became more competitive, you know, you get a lot more confidence from that. So it wasn't an intimidating place to go. Obviously, you knew that if you weren't on your game, you could be in for a long afternoon, and I was once or twice, unfortunately. But I went over there as well. So it's just an exciting place to play. The sight of the white jersey, it does kind of bring out an extra percentage or incentive in Irish players, and it's, you know, if you can beat England in their backyard, it's always a special day.
What's your favourite Twickenham memory?
Favourite one would have been putting Tommy Bowe away for a try to get victory in the Grand Slam year. It was off the back of the line out. Paul O'Connell popped the ball down off the back tail line out, and I drew their seven. I forget who their seven was, and just popped to Tommy, and he sliced in under the sticks. Gets all the glory, of course, again. Like, but probably that victory over there. My favourite memory over in Twickenham.
All right, so Ireland heading into this in the back of that impressive win over Wales, which is, I suppose, they needed that considering the win over Scotland wasn't as good.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's kind of justification for Farrell, you know, of what he's doing. Not that he probably needed that, but it's the first gig as head coach. Naturally, he's going to be under pressure. There's question marks after the first victory against Scotland, you know, about him and how long it's going to take for him to implement his style of play, or, you know, get his real imprint on this Irish team. But I think, you know, the victory over Scotland and then the manner of the victory over Wales kind of hits home that, you know, yeah, maybe he's doing something right. And even all the, you know, the sounds you're hearing out of camp, you know, players are a lot, I suppose, a lot more refreshed and revitalised, and they seem a lot happier. Seem to be having fun is the big word that's coming out of the squad, and I think that's important, especially in professional rugby. It can get lost, the fact that you're trying to enjoy the game. Obviously, everyone wants to win, but I think you can almost have paralysis by analysis, and that's probably what it went to under Schmidt in the end. Look, a fantastic coach, brilliant record, but probably was overdone towards the end of his tenure. Yeah. And Farrell has probably recognised that, and hopefully it seems to have given the Irish team a bit of freedom to express themselves.
So where can this English team be got at now next Saturday?
I think if you can match them physically, I think Ireland will have a tactically superior game plan, more skillful players. I think our halfbacks should be better at the control of a game, particularly at nine with Murray's kicking game, Sexton player of the year. I think if we can get parity or better up front, then I think our halfbacks and backs can cause this England team a bit of damage. So it's about getting that solidity at scrum time and getting enough, I suppose, in our ball carries. So that's probably one area of concern that I'd have is, you know, our ability to gain metres in ball carrying. So I think there's a lot of, I suppose, a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility on our back row to get good ball carries and get that bit of momentum going.
All right, call it. Is it a 50-50? How would you have England's slight favourites going in?
You'd have to have England as favourites. I'd definitely have a bit more hope than I would have before the Six Nations based on both England's performances or lack of performance and Ireland's improvement. So, but I just think England at home probably learned a few lessons from their two previous games. I think they'll just edge it.
And ahead of the game tomorrow, so you've been speaking to, I suppose, a former teammate of yours.
Yeah, I've been speaking to Dennis Fogarty, who I would have played against in schools. He was obviously a Tipperary man. He played with Rockwell, then was lucky enough to play Irish schools in Irish 20s with him, where we got to a World Cup final. We're hammered by New Zealand, but let's not talk about that. And then obviously had a number of years playing with him for Munster. Great guy, great crack off the pitch, you know, great hooker. Was part of the kind of 2008 winning squad on the bench that day. So yeah, just a great guy to have at the pitch. And his brother John, of course, ex-Leinster player, ex-Leinster scrum coach, is obviously Ireland's forwards are scrum coaches at the moment, so he'd have a good insight into the Irish setup at the moment. So it was great to catch up with him and get his thoughts.
I'm delighted to be joined by Dennis Fogarty, former Munster and Ireland A player. Dennis, thanks for joining me.
No problem at all. Good to chat again.
That's great to catch up. Obviously, I'm helping out with a bit of coaching for Con20s at the moment, so it's a bit of a baptism of fire there for me. Having you as a head coach, it's tough enough.
I know, it's tough to keep you under wraps as well, like, to be fair, but it's good. I know it's great. The young fellas are loving it.
They're good fun and probably less cynical than we were when we were playing.
Yeah, true. Very true.
So looking forward to obviously next weekend's Ireland and England game. Twickenham, do you think Ireland have much of a chance going over there?
I actually genuinely do. I'm quite hopeful, to be honest with you. I think Ireland are in a good place. They started well, and I think they've gradually gotten better as the games have gone on. So I think they're going over there with a really big chance. So I'm actually really looking forward to the game.
The kind of physical battering that we took off England in the last game, I know it was a build up to the World Cup and a lot has changed since then. You don't think that will have much of an influence on this Saturday's game?
I don't think so, to be honest with you. I think you have to look at the background of that game. They came off a massive camp in Portugal. I think there could have been a small bit of fatigue in that. And obviously with the whole changing, the coaching changing staff and all, or the coaching staff change, I think they're re-energised, to be honest with you. I think they're looking forward to this game. I know they've had a big week this week, but a good week in Cork, got a lot of work done. And I don't think I don't think that result will have any bearing on next week. Like I said, it was different circumstances, but you know, I think everyone now is in a new, fresh mindset of going over there and getting a result.
Yeah, you alluded to the change in mindset and change of coaches in the squad. I know Keith Earls was speaking during the week about how there's probably less pressure, less analysis, and it seems a bit more fun in the squad. How important and do you think the change that Andy Farrell has implemented or is trying to implement, how much is that affecting the squad?
I think it's going to have a huge effect. I think you know yourself, when you get someone in who's probably, even small changes can just reinvent you a small bit, you know what I mean? And I think you've seen that with players. I think there's an onus on them just to kind of express themselves more. I think Keith Earls alluded to that in reports this week, you know, that they now have that freedom, and it's, you know better than I do that when you play with freedom, it's just obviously it's way better to watch, but even to play in it is just more enjoyable, more exciting. Not saying how they played was bad or anything, but it was very structured in what they played. It was even tough to watch at times, but you see now in the first two games that it really is exciting to watch, and you see their ambition coming out in the field.
And your brother John, of course, is Ireland's scrum coach. Massive, I suppose, challenge for this Irish team at scrum time this weekend, and I suppose the pack overall. How important is that battle going to be in getting parity or even dominance in the scrum?
Yeah, it's huge. You know, you would have seen that in the first game. It's where Ireland would have struggled to really kind of getting their scrum going. You know, and you saw the effects it has on a game. You know, you get 1, 2, 3 penalties. You're up against it. In international rugby, it's not a good place to be. Set piece will be key, especially away from home. Obviously against World Cup finalists, you want to be nailing your set piece. England will have a very strong scrum, got a great pack, And obviously a good lineup, but that's where Ireland need to, I think, turn the screw. They've gotten better, like I said before, gradually getting better game by game, but I think they really need to be 100% at scrum time and obviously at line-out time. So, and I think they can. I think that there was a big change last week against Wales. You saw the scrum being very dominant, bar the first scrum of the game where we were penalised. But, you know, I think going into the game that there'll be a huge focus on set piece and at scrum time.
And I suppose you caught up with John last week when they were down in Cork. The confidence levels in the camp, are the coaches and the players really kind of confident and looking forward to the challenge of Twickenham?
Absolutely, you know, and I think that's driven from Farrell as well. You know, he's that energetic guy, he's that positive guy, and he's I think they're all feeding off him. You know what I mean? Yeah. So he's good to be around. Apparently, John's loving it at the moment. He's, you know, like I said, what Farrell is bringing to the whole, not just the coaching staff but to the players as well, is that they're re-energized and they're going over there full of confidence and, you know, really excited about the challenge that England will bring.
And I know in the press, the England coach has mentioned brutality and physicality. Obviously, that was in regards to their last game against France. But likely in this game, it's going to be extremely confrontational. With that in view, how would the makeup of your back row look like if you were selecting? Would Caelan Dyers come back into contention, or would you stick with Omani, Stander and Van der Vleer?
Yeah, I think it was a bit, you know, looking at it now, I think they're going to have to stay with Omani. I think he was angry after being dropped for the first game, and it kind of did him the world of good because he was brilliant, not alone at set piece, but around the park last week. Stander, there was big question marks over him going into the Six Nations, two man of the matches now. You know, he's undroppable. So you can't change that up. So and Van der Vleer has that just perfect balance. You know, he's everywhere. He's getting through so many tackles. I think he had 20-something tackles or 21 tackles in the last game. He's just very, very effective. So I think that's a good balance of Stander, you know, Peter Omani and Van der Vleer. So I don't see changes there. So I think they're going to stick with that back row. You know, I think Caelan Dyers will have to, you know, bide his time again and hopefully get back in for the Italy game, and then, you know, the coaches will probably reassess things.
Is that an exclusive now coming from the coaches for Red FM? We'll go to print with that, so will we?
Not at all. He doesn't say much now, to be fair. I don't get any insight into it. So, and I don't think he'd be picking a back row.
Yeah, fair enough.
He'll be asking him about props and hookers, and that's about it.
Okay, so what's the starting front row?
I don't know, to be honest with you. When I looked at it, even around the field, looking at changes, I don't see many changes. I think, especially with the English game, I don't think you're going to have many changes. There is a big call for Kilcoyne to maybe come in.
Yeah.
Would he do that for the English game? I don't know. Otherwise, you know, I don't see Conor Murray will retain his place. I think they will, you know, they might change it for the Italy game. And also, I think Keith Earls put his hands up.
Yeah, he did.
For, you know, I genuinely look at that and I'm like...
But who do you drop, you know, there from Stockdale, Armour or Conway? Like, it's a big decision.
Yeah, it is a big call for me. You know, like, obviously, I don't know much, but in terms of wingers and all this kind of stuff, but, like, I'm sure maybe he could fit in where Stockdale is. Mm. And then on the other side of it is, he came in at 13. He played incredibly well against Wales at 13. Is that balance of Bundiaki and Henshaw the right one for England? You know, they're quite similar players. I think he's a huge loss, is Ringrose, to get that balance right in midfield. So, I don't know, do you go with Henshaw and Earls at, you know, at 13 and Henshaw at 12, or just leave it at Bundy and Henshaw at 13? So, like it was in the Wales game. You know, I don't know, but I think that's the only positions where it's unbalanced at the moment with Ringrose being out. I think Henshaw, I think if they're all fit, maybe Henshaw might actually get, well, for, in my eyes, would get the nod against for Bundy, you know what I mean? So, but definitely, Earls has definitely put his hand up. Likewise, Kilcoyne is really hammering at that door. to try and get on the field.
So it's good to have that strength and depth, you know, have decisions to make and have guys to come on and add a bit of momentum after 50, 60 minutes. Another subplot of this game is, I suppose, the Andy Farrell versus Owen Farrell, contest. A lot of people have asked me about this and asking about split loyalties. Of course, you've experienced in this playing against John with Leinster. We played against them, but I've spoken to people and kind of family loyalties go out the window once the game starts, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, at the end of the day, it's your profession, it's the job. You know, we were similar to that in, 2008, Munster-Leinster Hine Cup semi-final, and my mother in the stands, you know what I mean? And she was just, you know, she was just wanted both of us to get off the field safely. Yeah. But I think, you know, we spoke about, I would have spoken to him before that game and stuff, and at the end of the day, it was literally, when the job, get your job done and do it at 100% if you can, and make the best team win, you know. And I think that there is that, and I saw some articles where Andy Farrell has spoken about that. They've got a great understanding of and a great professionalism between the two of them, of, you know, going out, doing their job to the best of their ability, and all they want to do is win. So and that's the bottom line, you know what I mean. And I think they'll have that respect between the two of them, you know, of going out there trying to win and doing everything they can to win. So and you have to respect that too. So I don't see it being a big issue.
And look, I suppose the Irish 20s deserve mention as well, and I know you've probably been exposed to a few of those guys, and particularly Jack Crowley at out half. How impressed have you been with the 20s team in general and some of the individual players?
Yeah, I must say, about 3 weeks ago or just a week before the Six Nations started, they came up and trained up in Cork Conn against the seniors, and I was extremely impressed with, I suppose, the pack and how good they were at set piece, how physically big they were, how fit they were, and then in the game they already looked like a team that had been with each other for so long. To be honest with you, saw the first game, and obviously where we see a lot of Jack Crowley up in Conn, and he's a very impressive young fella, to be honest. He's very focused, very dedicated, and just a good young fella. They all are, really, to be honest with you. At that age, coming out, we see it with some of our guys, they're just down to earth guys who he obviously has a goal in mind, and he's, you know, he's going out to get it, and that's it, you know what I mean. So very impressive, and you know, hopefully I wish the best to them all, and I see that being a big challenge as well for them, going over there trying to get a result against England. That's a huge challenge for them, but you know, I don't see it, you know, being a huge problem, and I wish the best of luck to them.
Okay, and of course, it's been a very tough week for everyone here in Munster Rugby with the passing of Gard Fitz. I spoke a bit about him yesterday, you know, a great man. Could you tell us really about your dealings with Gareth?
Yeah, I would have had dealings with him every time. I would have obviously not only signed my contracts with Gareth, he was the first guy who offered me a contract. Back in 2003, I think we both came off the World Cup, wasn't it?
And
the Under-21s World Cup, off of my first contract, he was just a monster man out and out, you know, to the core. He brought so much to the organization, to the club, to the players. He'd huge respect from everybody, you know, from within the organization, every single player. I don't think that anyone would have a bad word to say about him. And just an all-round good guy, good person to deal with. And I think from my point of view, it was what I really enjoyed about him. There was no messing with him. He was just straight talking. You know, I would have spoken to him when I was coming back from France and, you know, trying to kind of integrate myself back into Ireland and obviously into the workforce and stuff. And he, you know, he was all out to help me as well. You know, no issues. Whatever I can do, I'll do with Dennis. And just a great guy, you know, and he'd know, you know, he was just always there to help and always there for a good chat as well, to be honest with you. I'd had numerous chats with him, and he was just one of those guys where you come out of the chat and you were like, God, that was, I needed that, you know, that kind of way.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
No, massively missed. He'd be hugely missed within the organisation and from everybody around, you know, that had dealings with him.
Brilliant. Look, they're great words to end the interview on. Look, I appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we'll be looking, celebrating an Irish win this time next week. Thanks, Dennis.
No problem. Thank you.
All right, that was Dennis Fogarty in conversation with Tomás. Very, very interesting stuff indeed. I'm just going to go back a bit. The Ireland team were, of course, in Cork last week for a two-day training camp. They were supposed to play the Ireland under-20s in a match out in CIT. That was postponed because of a very, very heavy rain. It was then moved to Irish Independent Park. But afterwards, Ireland coach Andy Farrell held a press conference, and this is what he had to say afterwards.
There's plenty on. Honestly, this point, and the point of the 2 days camp that we've just had was to make sure that we recognise those areas, and we try and eradicate the errors within our session against the 20s today. It was a pretty important session for us because, we used it like game day preparation, and we'll meet back up on Monday night and we'll review that session as though it was a game. So there's plenty of learnings on Wednesday and certainly this morning before the session, and it was a decent session because of those learnings. We trained pretty well, so that was pleasing. What are the areas? I mean, the obvious bits that you guys would know as well as us. We created plenty of opportunities and there's some great player to get us there. We didn't convert them all. On the back of that, we probably created a few more opportunities than we thought that we didn't recognise, which is something that's been a bit obvious to us as well. And getting better at most things, you know, our set piece got better. It can certainly keep getting better, and that's what we'd want to do. Our counter-attack is on an upward curve, but we missed some opportunities there. So in general, most things that need to get better and have to with the week that's coming up next week. As confident as you can be going to Twickenham, we know the task in hand. We know what awaits you when you get there. We know that England are pretty proud to play at home, like we are to play at the Aviva. But we feel like we're in a decent place, you know. So we're looking forward to next week. We've had a good couple of days here, but I'm sure the lads are relishing coming into camp on Monday night, you know, looking for a big week ahead, and we'll need to be like that.
Well, that was Andy Farrell there speaking at the Riverlea Hotel in Cork last week as part of that Ireland 2-day training camp. He says he's as confident, Tomás, as you can be going to Twickenham, but I don't think he's a man short in confidence, is he?
No, he's very self-assured, and you know, you come across him and his physical stature, very kind of, he's a big presence, a big aura about him, but when you speak to him then as well, very self-assured, confident guy, and I guess he gets that through what he's achieved in life. You know, I think he was capped by the British and Irish rugby league team at 17-18. He went out to be their captain, I think, when he was 19. He's a legend of the league game. Obviously then came into play union as well, played with England. He's coached England, coached the Lions, so a fantastic CV in terms of rugby, but just personally from the guy as well. He's a great guy when you meet him, good crack, and he's all about, you know, empowering the players, I think, is the big thing from what I've seen. He did a short kind of gig with Munster as a consultant or an advisory capacity, and he was very much about talking to the players and giving them ownership of it, so... It sounds like he's trying to implement that with this Irish team and bring a bit of fun and a bit of crack back into the setup. So, yeah, I think he knows everything about English rugby, and obviously with his connection to his son Owen as well, be an interesting kind of challenge and conflict for them, but very much professional. They're both be out to get a win, but hopefully the sounds that he has are excellent and positive going to the camp. So if a fella like him can predict an Irish victory, then look, gives us all hope.
Well, something you mentioned in your chat with Dennis Fogarty, and it's something we've heard from players over the last while, is the mood in the camp, and there seems to be a lifting of pressure, I think, and players seem to be enjoying it a bit more.
Yeah, I think Andy obviously was part of the coaching setup with Joe, and he probably said himself, or a few players have said himself, that it's important that, you know, they are not ripping up the playbook totally and are maintaining and bringing the best bits that Joe implemented, and he implemented a hell of a lot of good things, and his success speaks for itself. But I think he probably realised that there was probably a bit too much tension around the whole setup, the whole camp. Probably the lads didn't get as much time to switch off and release that pressure valve, because you know preparing for international rugby games is a tough business, and I suppose it's a game of inches. But when you kind of don't get that escape from the game, that can kind of almost seep into your performance. And I think creating the play, that kind of freedom around expression and creating opportunities, getting the players to take ownership of that, and empowering the players to make their own decisions, I think that can only have a positive effect. Look, it'll take time for him to kind of really give his imprint on the Irish game plan and give that autonomy over to players, but I think it's important, and definitely the sound bites coming out of the camp and chatting to one or two players is, you know, they're having much more fun now, even after the Welsh game. They had a good crack at a few points together, sing song, and that, as much as anything, builds a bond and builds a team spirit. And maybe that was overlooked to an extent in the build up to the World Cup, you know, with the, I suppose, the fascination about getting all the little minute details right. You kind of let the social or the team bond kind of slip a little bit, and the results kind of speak for themselves.
Keith Earls is certainly a man who's enjoying his time under Andy Farrell. This is what he had to say about the mood in the camp when he spoke to the media at the press conference in Cork last week.
As you said, there are times we were scared to laugh. If you're laughing, you weren't switched on, or you weren't concentrating, or you weren't being professional, and what. I think last week before the game we did captain's run, then we didn't meet again until we were getting on the bus coming to the game, you know, and usually you'd have a couple of meetings beforehand, and then like you might have a meeting at 10 in the morning and the anxiety starts coming from there, whereas it was completely chilled, and you were trying to enjoy yourself, you know, but once you walk over the four lines you have to be switched on. It's being able to switch on for the hour or so, rather than, I suppose, wasting energy all morning or 2 days out or a day out, wasting energy on thinking about plays and stuff like that. But yeah, it's definitely a lot more relaxed than in Munster and Ireland as well. And
I've never played the Twickenham, so I'm not too sure I could say it's fun, but there's a bit of fun that maybe come back into the Ireland setup. Is that a bit of
it's, as I said there, it's been a lot more chilled, you know we're rarely in the classroom as well. You know, we see our classroom as being on the field. You know, the Faz brings down a TV down to the side of the field in HPC, and we look at a play and then we go and we rep it. And it's just, coaches are different. But yeah, I suppose, and then as I said, there, it's not about, like, thinking about going to Twickenham is an unbelievably tough place to go. But you probably only want to think about it 10 minutes here and there every day rather than 24/7.
It's not feeling like people talk about paralysis by analysis, that you can just tie yourself up in knots by going into stuff in too much detail with short, sharp bursts, or more beneficial.
Yeah, exactly. And I think Andy backs our qualities as well to be able to deliver what he shows us, you know. And look, it's a new philosophy, and completely different than the way we have been playing, and it's great. It's only two games into it, and we're 2-2.
What is it about England Twickenham that makes it genuinely one of the toughest places to go?
I don't know, I think it's just the quality in the side there, you know, especially in recent times as well. And obviously there's history between countries and all that crack as well, so and you know, they've pumped those a couple of times recently, and you know, we getting the Grand Slam over there and then denying them a Grand Slam, you know, so there has been a lot of history on the field. But and then this, between the clubs as well, particularly Saracens and Leinster going for Europe, so yeah, they're an unbelievable side, and you know, getting to a World Cup final, and they're all world class players.
And does this kind of pitch, because maybe you were coming through, maybe there was a bit more of that emotional stuff before playing English, that kind of, I suppose, a generational thing?
I think it was a generational thing. I think that's why it took me so long to find myself as well, because maybe I was trying to be like Paulie or Roger or some of them old fellas who trying to play emotion every week, which is impossible to do. It's a breath of fresh air coming in now, like being completely chilled out and like being able to enjoy a sport that's so important is it's great.
That was Keith Earls there from us. You heard him say, like, you know, like, it's not all about, like, you know, those tiny minute details that you were talking about, there seems to be a bit more freedom, a bit more room to express yourself.
Yeah, and Keith is so experienced. He's been coached by probably three or four Irish coaches at this stage and multiple coaches with Munster as well. So he's kind of seen different viewpoints and outlooks in terms of management. It's a very pragmatic kind of approach that Varel seems to be implementing. And I think it's great to hear that, you know, even the video analysis, they're doing it. Obviously, they have a new facility whereby they can have it on the side of the pitch and watch something in video and then rep it straight away, rather than sitting in a classroom for an hour and a half and kind of analyse the team that way. So, yeah, I think it's very important to have fun. That's what we all start to take up sport for. Obviously, when it becomes professional, it does become a job to an extent, but if you can have fun and if you have a bit of crack with your teammates, I think you go that extra bit for them on the pitch. So, yeah, I think he's on to a good thing there. So we'll see if it translates to Saturday.
Fingers crossed it does indeed. Ireland and England, Twickenham Saturday. It doesn't get much bigger than that. We'll be talking about it again on the Big Red Bench this coming Saturday. But the Ireland under-20s are in action in Franklin's Gardens on Friday as they take on England as well. Now, one man who's been capturing the headlines for the under-20s is Cork's Jack Crowley. The out-half has been in red hot form, scored a cracking try against Scotland at Irish Independent Park, was very, very good indeed against Wales. He was at that presser in Cork at the Riverlea Hotel last week, and this is a little bit of what Jack had to say.
We spoke about after the first two games, like, we have, as a group, our 20s group this year are unbelievably driven, and like, we have highest standards within our group. And we spoke after the Scottish game, you know, saying that we didn't play our game, you know, obviously a few tries off offloads and stuff like that, but we are happy with that, but it's still not our game, and we strive this week to focus on just playing our game. Going away to England next week, you know, obviously it's an away game. Franklin Gardens, a stronghold in English rugby with Northampton being there, but you know, that's an uncontrollable for us, that we can't go away and dictate the crowd, as when teams come to Independent Park, that it's, you know, it's difficult to play against, but I'm sure they cancel that crowd out. But by playing our game, we can get into our flow and feel comfortable away from our home of Independent Park. So that's kind of the main thing that's been our focus, is, you know, we've played well in the last two games, but there's still a lot more in us, and by getting to our shape and our game is being the main focus point this week.
How do you manage those big moments that you've had and the inevitable attention that brings? I'm sure your WhatsApps are lighting up after every game, and you're getting sent links of videos that are going viral of moments in your game. How do you embrace that, but also try and manage it and block it out a little bit when you need to? Like, cause you have to be excited about what you do, but you also have to be able to concentrate.
Yeah, like I think the main thing that I took from it is, you know, obviously it's unbelievable getting moments like that, but you know, the job is done. It's, you know, Six Nations campaign. It's different if it's a one-off game where it's a test match, you know, maybe last year in the 19s and 18s, but my mentality anyway is that it's a Six Nations campaign. Once the game's over, we're automatically into the hot review after the game, and we put that behind us, that game, and we're moving on to the next game. So you embrace, you know, after the game, you know, making people proud, making people happy, and you understand that, but that has to be put back into the locker, and you're just focused on the next game. And that's kind of been our main mentality after games, is that we review it, we talk about it, we take our learnings, as there has been many learnings, and we move on to the next game, which is what we've done this week.
What are days today, did you?
Massive learning, you know, coming up against Johnny Sexton and Ross Byrne and stuff like that, and even talking to them, understanding learnings from them, and it's just unbelievable competitive atmosphere that, you know, that you're training against the Irish seniors, and you can learn so much from them, and by doing that you can have the highest standards of, you know, other teams in the 20s campaign might never have to have that opportunity. So we're lucky to have this unbelievable opportunity to train against seniors, so massive learnings from it is what we took.
So that was Jack Crowley there speaking about life as the Ireland number 10 for the Ireland under-20s. He's a very, very impressive character to us, isn't he?
Yeah, he seems to have a real mature head on his shoulders, and even with the bit of attention that he's got, it's a courtesy of his performances, and I guess that kind of super individual try that he got as well in Independent Park. He seems to be kind of taking it all in his stride. I know the guys out in Cork Con have great hope for him in the future as well, and obviously Munster would have their eyes on him now as well at this stage. But you know, I think the under-20s competition is a fantastic opportunity for those kind of guys to catapult their names into the thinking of provincial managers and even the Irish senior management's thinking for the next few years. So look, the last two games have been fantastic. Obviously a big challenge going over to England now for the 20s team, which traditionally has been one of the more difficult games. But back in my day, there would have been a big difference in terms of physicality between Ireland and England. But, you know, I saw that Irish 20s team in person, and the size of some of those guys, it's mad. Like, they're all on weights programmes from the time they're 14, 15 in school and coming out fully formed and fully fledged, ready to play professional rugby. So I don't think that physical difference will be there at all. So it's a case of, I guess, which team can play the best rugby tactically. And look, under his stewardship, Ireland have done very well so far, so hopefully for himself that he continues to progress, and for Munster down the line as well.
Fingers crossed. 7:45 on Friday, the kickoff time in Franklin's Gardens, as Ireland look to continue their quest for back-to-back Grand Slams. This has been a Big Red Bench special podcast looking ahead to Ireland and England this weekend. Don't forget to check out the Big Red Bench this coming Saturday. Check out our Twitter as well at Big Red Bench, and check us out online, redfm.ie. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll chat to you Saturday.
The Big Red Bench. Game on. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m.